I believe the most important thing in this debate is what Stephen began his last speech by saying, inspiration is not even omniscience. Well, yes, it does. Because inspiration, 2 Timothy 3, means that it's inspired of God, and God is omniscient. So when God says something that's put in the Bible, it is absolutely true. Stephen is denying that because he says, inspiration is not equal omniscience. Paul might have been wrong when he called somebody a brother. He was just assuming the best. Now, that's true. Paul might have said some things when he's talking to his friend about Alabama football that were not inspired. But when Paul wrote God's word, he was inspired, and what he said is omniscient because God is actually the author. 1 Corinthians 2:13, remember? The Holy Spirit gave him the actual words to say. That's Stephen's problem. When he sees brethren, he thinks Paul might be wrong. When he says holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, he thinks it might be wrong because inspiration is not necessarily equal omniscience. That might be wrong. Stephen, you're flat out wrong about that, and that's why we have this impasse on this issue. If Paul wrote it in the Bible, God is, he's only the pen. He's just the secretary. God is omniscient, so God would know. And then it's strange that Stephen said about, he was talking about anthropomorphically. Oh, I grant that since the Bible says God is a spirit, when it speaks of his hands, or God is at the, Jesus is at the right hand of God, is speaking anthropomorphically. I looked up the word in the English dictionary. It means ascribing human form or attributes to a being or thing, not human, especially to a deity. How in the world can that definition fit when Paul says by inspiration of God that somebody is a holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, then he's speaking anthropomorphically? So it's not really true. That's ascribing human form or attributes to a being or thing, not human, especially to a deity. That didn't make any sense. Number 14. He said that Paul didn't know for sure that he was saved. That's why he could recognize the fact that he might become a reprobate, a castaway. But everybody look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. Paul speaking about himself, he said by inspiration, God said this, who was before, about Paul really, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 16 says, howbeit this cause I obtained mercy. You mean he obtained mercy and he wasn't saved? God said he was saved. And then God said in 1 Corinthians 9 there was a possibility he'd become a reprobate. God said he was saved, so I'm sure he was saved. God had extended to him mercy. But then I'm sure that he could have become a reprobate because God said it in 1 Corinthians 9. It wasn't just Paul speaking. In number 7. In 2 Peter 2, here's what Stephen said about 2 Peter 2, verse 1. It says, they were denying the Lord that bought them. Stephen said, quote the best I could write, that they were bought, that they said they were bought by the Lord, but they deny that with their life. It doesn't say they said they were bought by the Lord. The Bible says they were bought by the Lord. And they denied him through their life and their false teaching, but the Bible says they were bought by the Lord. It wasn't that they were claiming to be bought by the Lord and they denied him with his life. The Bible says they were bought by the Lord. What? Why is it so important? Because according to the limited atonement view, that proves that they were saved, yet it says they were false teachers. And that verse in 20 through 22 says that they had lost their salvation. No, the pig doesn't mean that the fact that he stays a pig doesn't mean he's not a Christian. That's not the analogy there. The person stays a person, but is he washed of his sins? The pig was washed, so he did become a Christian. Galatians 5:4, he says they were unbelieving believers. But chapter 4, verses 5 through 6 says they were sons of God who had received the Holy Spirit. God said that. He's infallible. Revelation 3, verse 5 says their names are in the book of life. That has to mean that they were saved. He said it. They were saved in a question asking. That you can't get in the book of life your name in there unless you're saved. Yet it says, presents the possibility, what? That they could be erased out of the book of life, taken out of the book of life. How could this not teach that once you're a Christian, there's the possibility of losing your salvation? How could it not teach that? He hasn't explained it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, talking about holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, and he wasn't speaking anthropomorphically. And God is the one that actually said it. So he's omniscient. He's inspired. So we can know they were holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, without doubt, says they could change to an unbeliever and depart from the living God. They'd be lost, according to John 3, 36b. John 15, 2 and 6, remember they were in Christ. That was God speaking. It was actually Jesus. I wonder if he knew what he was talking about or he was just assuming the best. They were in him, in fellowship with him. They had been clean through the word, forgiven. Yet he says that if they don't abide in him, that if they don't bear fruit, they will be taken away and burned. obviously the references to everlasting punishment. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 11, Romans 14. These are people for whom Jesus died. They have to be saved according to the limited atonement position. Yet they could perish or be condemned. And 2 Peter 1, verse 9, they've been purged from their old sins. They have to be Christians if the Bible is right. Yet the Bible says they needed to make their calling and election sure. And if they didn't have the Christian graces, they would fall. They would lose their salvation. How could it be any more clear? Thank you very much.